Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we look to the third chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, beginning with verse 1, as follows. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Here ends our text. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose way was prepared by John the Baptist, dear fellow redeemed. I wonder if you know who America's most famous road builder was. It's a name that I'm sure you're very familiar with, although you might not connect it with the business of building roads. He was undoubtedly the most outstanding road builder there ever was. In the year 1775, he led the team that built the Wilderness Road, forging through hundreds of miles of stark wilderness, felling trees, removing obstacles, laying corduroy road across swampy marshland. Have you guessed his name? It was Daniel Boone. When you think of the tools that he and his men had to work with, hand saws and pickaxes and other hand tools, you'll realize why historians consider him to be America's greatest road builder. You and I are in the road building business too. Especially during this season of Advent, we are building a road to our heart for our Savior Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is calling on us to prepare a way for the Lord to make his paths straight. As our Lord's arrival gets closer and closer, we want to make sure that his path to our heart is clear of obstructions, because for us, that's the road to salvation. But John tells us there's a tool we need to carry out this work, a very important tool that we can't do without. That tool is repentance. That's why our theme this morning is, "Repentance clears the road to Christmas." Without repentance, the way of salvation is hopelessly blocked. But with repentance, that way is free and clear. Talk about a strange-looking character. John the Baptist must have been among the strangest. He lived in the wilderness of Judea. He wore clothes made of camel skin, existed on a diet of grasshoppers and wild honey. To say the least, John the Baptist stood out from the crowd. But that was his mission. He was supposed to stand out because he had a unique message to proclaim. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was like a one-man advance team for Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years earlier, Isaiah had prophesied the arrival of John the Baptist when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth." John the Baptist's job was to help people smooth out a way to their heart so that Jesus could come right in. And there's only one way to build that kind of road, so his message was simple: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, there are plenty of strange-looking religious characters still in our day and age, aren't there? No shortage of wild-eyed preachers who are willing to stand on the corner and proclaim repentance to passers-by. We saw one on a recent visit to Washington, D.C., half a block from the White House, shouting his message of repentance from the street corner. These people never seemed to gather much of an audience, however. That was not John the Baptist's problem. John was famous. People were flocking to see him. Our text says that Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Among the crowds who were coming to him, however, John noticed many of the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. Like the others, they wanted to hear what this new preacher had to say. But unlike the others, they had absolutely no intention at all of confessing any sins. After all, they were very religious people, and they were proud of it. They tithed, they fasted, they prayed in public on street corners. Above all, they were descended from Abraham. Confess their sins? As far as they could tell, they didn't really have any sins to confess. That way lies blockage. I recall years ago visiting the Redwood Forests in Northern California, driving through on a trip. And I remember how amazed I was by the immense size of the trees. But equally amazing, to me at least, was the nice straight road that cut right through the middle of the forest. And the thought occurred to me how difficult it must have been to build that road. Can you imagine the huge trees that had to be felled? And especially the massive stumps that must have had to be removed. If you've ever tried to remove even a little stump from your own yard, you can understand how difficult it would be to remove a stump the size of a two-car garage. That was the task those road builders must have faced. You know, unrepented sins are a lot like those giant tree stumps. They are the obstacles that obstruct Jesus' road to a person's heart. Just like stumps, they have to be removed. Just like stumps, the only way to remove them is with a very, very powerful force. And that is God's law and repentance. For without repentance, the way of salvation is hopelessly blocked. John the Baptist had very harsh words for the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to him with no intention of repenting. They needed to hear God's law in all its terror, and he gave it to them. "Brood of vipers," he said, "who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." "Yes, Christ is coming," John said, "but for every person who refuses to repent, they will be separated from the true believers and burned up like the worthless chaff at harvest time. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Same thing is true today. The Bible says that to unbelievers, the gospel is a savor of death unto death to those who are perishing, to those who refuse to repent. What about you? This Advent season is especially a time when we wish to once again invite our Savior Jesus into our hearts. Are you prepared? Is the road to your heart clear and straight? Or are there still stumps in that road? Are you still holding on to certain sins that might block his path? Are you perhaps nurturing a grudge against someone who did you wrong sometime in the past? Are you allowing unkind thoughts and deeds to linger in your heart and to grow and multiply? Are you refusing to give top priority in your life to your Lord Jesus, skipping church attendance when you could otherwise come, or neglecting to read your Bible, or neglecting to use the wonderful privilege of prayer? Sometimes I was shocked to hear one person say, "Well, I really don't pray all that much at all." That's like saying to someone That's like someone who has $1 million in their bank account saying, I can't be bothered to write a check. Prayer is important. Bible reading is important. Are you guilty, perhaps, of malicious gossip, of taking God's name in vain, of being covetous and not being satisfied with what the Lord has given to you? Repent. Confess your sins. Don't avoid the subject. That'll only make the blockage worse. The Apostle John warns, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, this is God's law, and all of us need to hear that. But God has another word for us today as well. John goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The flip side of John the Baptist's message is a very joyful one. With repentance, the way to salvation is free and clear. Imagine this scene, if you will. A criminal enters a courtroom and stands before the judge. He's guilty of the most terrible crimes, and uncontrovertible evidence has been given to prove his guilt beyond the shadow of a doubt. How does the defendant plead? Asks the judge. Guilty, Your Honor, says the criminal. I throw myself on the mercy of the court. Nothing unusual so far. The same scene is played out in American courtrooms every day. But just imagine if the judge went on to say, well, that's fine. I just wanted to hear you confess your sins. I pronounce you not guilty. You're free to go. Why, the defendant's jaw would drop wide open. So would everybody else's in the courtyard. So would yours and mine. No judge in the world would render such a verdict. But God does. Whenever you bring your sins to him and ask him for Jesus' sake to forgive you, he grants you his pardon. It's as simple as saying, yes, I'm guilty, Lord. Have mercy on me, a sinner. It doesn't matter how many your sins are. It doesn't matter how long you've been committing them. It doesn't matter how great they are. When you repent and cling to the cross of your Savior Jesus, God forgives. It's as simple as that. For as the heavens are high above the earth, says King David, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. With repentance, the way of salvation is free and clear. Well, any earthly judge who rendered verdicts like that would lose his job in a big hurry. Does that mean that our God is an unjust God? Not at all. There was indeed a penalty to be paid for the sins you committed, but your Lord Jesus paid it for you. The happy part of John the Baptist's mission was telling repentant sinners that the Savior of the world was almost there. One day after the action of our text took place, in fact, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a joy for John. Can you imagine? After centuries of the people of Israel looking forward to the promise of a Savior, John the Baptist gets to point his finger and say, "There he is. That's him walking over there. That's the Messiah himself, the world's creator and its redeemer." Yes, what a joy for John to identify Jesus. And what a joy for you to do the same thing in your life, to confess Jesus and identify him as your Savior and the Savior of the world. The spotless Lamb, the innocent Jesus who was sacrificed on the cross to pay for every transgression you ever committed, or ever will commit for that matter. His work of redemption is accomplished. It's a historic fact that nothing can change. Your ransom price has been paid in full, and the Holy Spirit has already made you a member of the kingdom of heaven by virtue of the faith that he put into your heart. As the lights come out on our homes and on our Christmas trees again this Advent season, we sing that favorite Advent hymn, "Rejoice, rejoice, believers, and let your lights appear." For in the gift of his Son, God is giving to us nothing less than the gift of life that never ends. It is yours for the asking, so ask for it, receive it, rejoice in it, and thank God for it. The winter season as you know, usually brings with it some snowfall, even here in our notoriously rainy Pacific Northwest, and it'll probably be the same this year. Sooner or later, odds are you'll have to get out there with your scoop shovel and battle with the snow to clear a path to the street. Advent is the time to clear a path to our hearts for the coming Savior. So let's clear out the sins that have accumulated in our lives. Let's repent, and through repentance, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Amen. Please rise.